Isaiah 9, chapter 6. Excuse me, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. Excuse me. Chapter 9, verse 6 through 7. I ain't got it put on my body. Here, so I'll put it on. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 through 7. Are you there, church? This is what the Bible declares. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Let's prepare our hearts to hear the word. Let's talk to the master. Our Jesus, our Savior, Lord, there is none like you. Gracious God, we thank you again, Father, for this opportunity to bring your word before your people, Lord God. I thank you for a good week of quality time with you, Lord, and your scriptures to bring word to your people, Lord. So, Father, we just ask you to bless this time. Father, who I am, you made me. Lord, all that I have, you gave me. Father, please bless this time. This is your servant's prayer. And we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name and for his sake and his sake only. Amen. Unto us a child is born. The prescription is ready. Unto us a child is born. The prescription is ready. For a child will be born to us. A son will be given to us. That's the main text of the scripture this morning. I want to ask a question this morning. What do you think when you see a newborn baby? When you look at that newborn baby laying there, do you think of power? When you see that newborn baby laying there, do you think of strength and majesty? When I see a little baby laying there, I think of how cute that baby is. I think about that new life and how vulnerable it is. And I think about what that child needs. That child needs warmth and protection, amen? You see, the preciousness of life can be seen in the frailty of a newborn child. And we love and value the little ones, don't we, church? Don't we? Amen. So, how much more should we value the precious life of Jesus Christ, who when he became a child and was delivered from his mother's womb and entered into this world, just like you and I did? You see, we really have no capacity. We have no capacity to understand the incredible humility that was involved when the Word became flesh. I think it's almost downright unfathomable. The reality that defies comprehension when you think about of the second person of the Trinity to enter into humanity forever, because Jesus will forever be a man in which the eternal word will dwell. Amen? Amen, church? Is anybody out there? Well, somebody say amen. All right. Unto us a child is born. The prescription is ready. You know, at my job over there, you know where I work at. I get a chance to see a lot of people, even some of you. I get a chance to see some of you when you go over to the pharmacy to get your prescriptions. Some of these prescriptions might be for short-term use. Sometimes you go to the pharmacy for aches and pains or for life-giving reasons. But when the Word became flesh, the infinitely powerful became weak. When the Word became flesh, the wonderfully majestic became humble. When the Word became flesh, the Creator of the universe became one of us. When the Word became flesh, the infinite, self-sustained, eternal being who created every atom in the universe and placed them in their proper places and had become dependent on the nourishment of his mother's breasts and the warmth of her loving touch. When the Word became flesh, the eternal Son was in a state of submission to the will of God the Father in heaven, and also to the guidance of his parents here on planet Earth. I think that's incredible. I think it's unfathomable. It's a demonstration of infinite love and incredible humility. At Jesus' birth, we see the beginning of the work of redemption. What did the Word give up when it became a small child? A child will be born speaks of the Word becoming flesh. If you have your Bibles this morning, please, let's go over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 14. John chapter 1, verse 14. Are you there, church? This is what the Bible says. It says, "Then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the Son of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." What did the Word have to give up when he became a small child? Please, let's go over to Galatians. The book of Galatians, chapter 4. Galatians, chapter 4, verse 4. Are you there? Say amen. This is what the Bible says. It says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law." You see, when the Word became flesh, he became like one of us to die for us. When the Word became flesh, he became like us to free us. When the Word became flesh, he walked among us to guide us. When the Word became flesh, he stayed with us to teach us. Amen? Unto us a child is born. The prescription is ready. You see, when the Word became flesh, you know what he did, church? He died on the cross to set us free from the treachery and the consequences of sin. Amen? Amen, church? And you see, not only did he do this for us in this world, but he did it for us in the world to come. Amen? But you see, when he died on the cross, y'all, he didn't stay there, did he? No, he didn't. You see, he rose from the grave to prove that his sin sacrifice was acceptable to God the Father, amen? And it was to demonstrate what he said about God, sin, and redemption was absolutely true, amen? Amen, church. When the Word became flesh, this child, the majesty of God, the glory of God, the omnipresence of God, in full submission to the law, in the form of an infant child that could be held in the arms of his earthly mother. You see, his being a son that was given was a very gracious gift from God the Father. Amen? Amen. You see, it was the Father who sent the Son. Come on, y'all. Let's go over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 18. Are you there? This is what the Master is saying. He says, I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. Amen? This is what Jesus was saying. And it says, it was the Father who sent the Son. So let's go over to John. We ought to know John 3:16. What does John 3:16 say? It says, for God so loved the world, what? That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. Amen? You see, the Word did not give up his deity when he joined the human nature and became the person of Jesus the Christ. Amen? Instead, he cooperated. He cooperated with the limitations of humanity. Come on, let's back this up. Let's go over to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5 through 9. This is where it gets good at right here. Are you ready? Are you there? All right, here we go. Have this mind amongst yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in the heavens and on the earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen? So unto us a child is born. The prescription is ready. So in other words, church, when the Word became flesh, the eternal became mortal. When the Word became flesh, the infinite became finite. When the Word became flesh, the glory put on sandals. When the Word became flesh, the majestic wore clothing. When the Word became flesh, the Creator, he walked amongst us. When the Word became flesh, eternal love eventually became bleeding flesh. Amen? Amen. All right. Let's go back over to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. And it says, the government will rest on his shoulders. Now, what does this mean? What does this mean? And it says that there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom. You see, government was often seen as a burden by the Israelites, especially when they were under subjugation to foreign powers, which happened frequently in Israel's history. Furthermore, government was sometimes symbolized as a key laid on someone's shoulders. Let's go over to Isaiah chapter 22. Please, ma'am, please, sir. Isaiah chapter 22, verse 22. Are you there? This is what the Bible says. It says, and I will place on his shoulder the key of the house of David. He shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. You see, the size of the military rank in our United States Navy, the ensign, he wears the keys right here on his shoulders for his insignias. But in the context of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it is a rebuttal to the oppressors of Israel spoken of in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 4. Okay, let's go back to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 4. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 4. This is what the Bible says. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. So unto us today, a child is born. The prescription is ready. So the verse is talking about the kingly aspect of the ministry that points to the peaceful and perfect rule of Jesus Christ. Are we speaking about millennialism or premillennialism? That is the question. I can't hardly say that. Premillennialism. Jesus said in John 18:36, my kingdom is not of this world. We are called out of this world into the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen, church? Amen. And here's the good part right here. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. You see, his name exhibits four aspects of his character. These specific titles do not appear in the New Testament in reference to Jesus as direct quotes, but they are alluded to. You see, name means things in the Bible. Name means a whole lot in the Bible. Like even in our Native American people, they have names such as Running Bear and Flying Eagle. I had a buddy back home, we used to call him Possum, but I don't know what that means. But anyway, Possum Jenkins. But anyway, Wonderful Counselor. Let's read John 14:26. John 14:26. Come on, tablet. John 14:26. Are you there? Because I'm not yet. Are you there? All right, amen. This is what the Master is declaring. He says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all that I have said to you. Amen? You see, Jesus gives us his teaching and his wisdom. That's what I call being a wonderful counselor. Amen? Amen. All right, let's look up the second term, Mighty God. Let's go over to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 28. John chapter 20, verse 28. Are you there? This is a short one. This is Thomas. He says, Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Come on, let's go over to Hebrews chapter 1. Please, ma'am, please, sir. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. Are you there, church? Amen? Amen. This is what the Bible says. It says, for he finds fault with them when he says, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Amen? Mighty God. All right. Unto us a child is born. The prescription is ready. Let's look up the term, Eternal Father. Let's go over to John 14. Let's go back. John 14, verse 9. Are you there? John 14, verse 9. This is what the Bible says. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Amen? Amen. All right. The next term, the next aspect he's called, Prince of Peace. Come on, let's go over to Luke. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Are we there? This is what the Bible says. It says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace amongst those with whom he is pleased. Amen? Amen. So for the world, Christmas has become a commercialized feeding frenzy of crazed shoppers who trample each other underfoot while trying to get a good deal on shoes, TVs, video games, etc., right? Amen? Amen. We have forgotten what Christmas is all about. For the believers, the Christians, Christmas is a time of celebration of the Lord, of the birth of the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. It's when in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it is a fulfillment of prophecy in Jesus who was born that he would die. It was Jesus who was born in a manger so that he would one day carry the cross. And the birth of Jesus is our redemption and our blessing and our cleansing and all of our hope. So unto us a child is born. The prescription is ready. You see, Jesus, when he came to seek and save those which were lost. Amen? Amen. That's why Jesus came. And another reason why Jesus came, when he came to suffer, bleed, and die on the cross so that mankind could have redemption through him. Amen? So in other words, the prescription is ready. So when it took 42 generations for Jesus to come to planet Earth. So when God sent Jesus down, when the Word became flesh, he made sure that he wrapped it and packaged it properly so that it would arrive in good shape. So he wrapped the Jesus up in human flesh, amen? He wrapped him up in human flesh. But when he sent him, he sent him through time. He didn't send him by UPS. He didn't send him by Amazon. He didn't send him by the U.S. mail, but he sent him through time, amen? Amen, he did. He sent Jesus, which is our prescription for a dying world. That's what the world needs now, is Jesus, amen? Amen. So that's where we're going to close off today. Unto us, a child is born. The prescription is ready. You ready, Tom? Okay. We're going to have our invitation song right now. Just As I Am, with Allen, please.